All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening. This is American Vindicta. I am your host, Douglas Thornton. So tonight, we are going to be discussing American Civil War 2.0, the new, next, latest, and greatest thing that everyone keeps talking about. I mean, it's in the news everywhere. And I think America is really starting to come around to the sense that we're going to be coming into a possible hot war, an actual kinetic war. You know, colleagues of mine and I have discussed this intimately before, that we're obviously going through some sort of a civil war in this country, be it socially, educationally, you know, even politically. You can see dividing lines happening and you can see people separating from themselves, but we haven't seen a actual kinetic event yet. And some people say that what's going on right now with Kyle Rittenhouse and the trial is the beginning shots of the next civil war. That may or may not be true, but an update on that. Jack Posobiec just recently posted that a motion for mistrial with prejudice for withholding video evidence may be coming. Turns out the prosecutor had more evidence that he should have been disclosing to the defendant's attorney and obviously didn't do it. He didn't do it because he's a shady piece of crap of a prosecutor. But that is the Brady Act that he has now violated. So not only has this same prosecutor violated at least one constitutional order, he's also now violated the Brady Act. So with the Brady Act, that means that if you have any type of exculpatory evidence that the defense does not have, you are obligated to share with the defense. So it can't be no surprise, gotcha, look at this evidence. You have to disclose it. And we can see now that with the verdict being postponed for the day and the court reconvening tomorrow morning, we may be having the outcome of the trial be brought to us, you know, sometime tomorrow. I know the judge has had multiple death threats. I know the juries have had multiple death threats. Obviously, Kyle Rittenhouse and his family has as well. And these things are to be expected. But have you ever seen the state or the government come after somebody so hard and make this kid look like such an evil, mass-murdering lunatic? Do I agree with everything that happened that night in Kenosha? No, I don't. But you know what? That's my opinion. My opinion only means anything to me. And Kyle Rittenhouse was doing what he felt as a 17-year-old should be doing for the betterment of his community. That shows you that there's a real failure within the people responsible for the law enforcement and the mayor and the governor. Because they had the ability to shut down the protest. They had the bill, well, not shut down the protest, to shut down the riots. It's not a protest. When you start burning and looting and you start trying to hurt people or actually are hurting people, and then, you know, now you're racking up tens of 20, 30,000, probably close to $1 million worth of damage for property damage, that is terrorism that is no longer protesting. So I think we need to start, you know, probably dividing those lines a little bit harder. You cannot say that everything's going peaceful while you're filming cars and police stations on fire behind you. That's pure lunacy. So I don't care what CNN tries to tell you, that's not fact. What is fact is that the prosecution did withhold evidence. So they're pulling out all the stops. They're doing whatever they can to put him away or to throw the case so that they can retry again. I think that the judge is left with two options. You can either have a mistrial with prejudice, that way this can't be charged again, or you can let it go to a jury vote. Right now, the jury vote, the deliberation obviously did not happen today, so we'll have to wait for tomorrow, hopefully, for a verdict. But if it doesn't come out to be what the judge feels like is the fair judgment by the jurors, then he has the option to have a direct verdict and to overrule them. I think at this rate, the judge should have the direct verdict. He should overrule them, or he should just call for a mistrial with prejudice. Because the state attorney, they just screwed this case up so bad. They looked so bad pointing an AR-15 at the jurors, or within the direction of the jurors. You know, listen, this guy, this prosecutor, he's a slimy, slimy snake. And he doesn't even have the due diligence to understand that when you are aiming a weapon, loaded or not loaded, and you have your finger on the trigger, unless you're ready to kill whatever is in front of you, you are wrong and you're breaking safety standards. And those are very common. Everyone who's a gun owner should know the basic four weapon safety rules. I'm not going to go over it because I'm sure most of you people who are listening right now understand that very basic thing. But hear me out. We will see a riot of some sort based off of this. I don't think Kyle is going to be found guilty, not all the way through to the point that he's going to jail or that he's going to prison. I think Kyle's going to walk. And if Kyle walks, what did Antifa and BLM already promise you? Cities are going to burn. Because that's democracy. So that is your impending future as I sip on my coffee at midnight as I record this. We'll just have to wait and see. And I will be speaking about it tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Wednesday, is the Doug and Dave Intel Report on thecommonsenseshow.com. Please join us there. It's always a very entertaining time for me and Dave to sit there for an hour and, you know, just shoot the crap back and forth. I think we cover a lot of things that a lot of other people are afraid to cover. And you're not hearing too many guys with my background who are openly speaking out against these type of things anymore. There are many, but to what extent do they speak out on these things? Hey, man, I'll leave their professional decisions up to themselves. For me, I'm kind of a no-holds-bar kind of guy. I'm going to talk about whatever I want to, and I'm not going to be intimidated or shut down. And that's just the way it is. I really don't care. I'm going to speak the truth no matter how bad it hurts people's feelings. I promise you, you can always get that from me. So we're going to get on to tonight's topic. This will probably be something that needs to be covered over the next coming weeks as well. I can't really go into everything at once tonight because there's so much information out there. But we're going to talk about what the next Civil War is going to look like. For starters, my predictions, as I have stated before, is that I think within the next 2 years, we have a very high possibility of seeing the first kinetic shot from one group aimed at the other. Now that can either be the left aimed at the right or the right aimed at the left. It doesn't really matter at this point because any type of gunfight that happens will fall right into line with what the politicians, the elitists, the Democrats, the leftists, the Rhino Republicans, they needed. They need the ability to take your firearms. They need the ability to lock this nation down under martial law. They need that, and they want you to just give it to them. Thus, this is why you see so much rhetoric out there about civil war, so much rhetoric about the racial divide in the country. They're building up for that upcoming civil war. And, you know, I mean, one good conflict in this country can quickly spin out of control and bring us into the Civil War. We used to think that Portland was going to be the breeding ground for that because of just how damn chaotic it was and how violent it is there. But honestly, it could happen anywhere. The Kyle Rittenhouse case could be the catalyst for it. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. We have heard that before. You know, this event could cause the next Civil War. But I think that we are actually very, very close to it based off of my studies and based off of me actually being at quite a bit of these events and seeing it from the law enforcement perspective and hearing the protesters going after each other and then subsequent arrest and finding the types of weapons that we were finding on people. You don't go to a protest with 2 feet worth of a chain, a Bowie knife, flares, smoke grenades, IEDs, chemical irritants, or Molotov cocktails, and not include rifles or pistols if you just want to express your First Amendment. So we have people that are actively going out there hoping that something happens, and by the grace of God, nothing has happened that significant yet. Though it has been the left that has terrorized people, it has been the left that has stalked people, that has deplatformed, that has silenced, that has demonetized, and let's not forget, has also killed people. So we have the henchmen groups like BLM and Antifa and BAMF, the Boogaloo Boys. There's a couple other radical groups out there from the left, and I'm going to break all that down one day. I'm going to give you every single radical group that's out there. But I'm telling you right now, be prepared. We will see riots probably within the next couple days. I don't know how bad, and I don't know how many, and I don't know the duration of how long they will last. Depends on how well-funded it is. If George Soros has anything to do with it, it could go on for a while. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. You know, it's a very chaotic time that we live in. And this is one of those interesting times where the Bible references men calling good evil and evil good. And I think many Americans see the tension. Law enforcement obviously recognizes the tension. And the military seems to be hanging out on the sidelines for right now. And that's good because that's where I want to keep them. I don't want them involved. I want, if possible, all of this to go away. But we'll see. I've been surprised before. Please stand by for a word from our sponsors.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you for joining me on American Vindicta tonight. We are talking about the next upcoming American Civil War. So let's talk about this. How did we come to another potential civil war? Well, many of this is guided through by politics. Many of this is, I guess you could say, led by revolutionaries, led by elitist groups, and groups who work behind the scenes, like the Bilderberger Group. There are plenty of secret societies out there who help out with this, and there are prophecies out there that speak of things like this. These very troubling times, I believe, are also things that you could add into from Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars. And we just need to understand that what would another civil war look like in this country? I believe we need to understand that another civil war is going to look extremely different compared to the first. This isn't going to be a North versus South thing. This isn't going to be over taxes and slavery. It isn't going to be over revenue. This is a war of ideas and whose idea gets to last and whose idea gets to die. What is that idea? That idea is freedom. That idea is the freedom of Americans. We have a group in this country who wants to destroy America. And then we have Americans who blindly turn their faces away from the problems. And it only accumulates the more we go as people ignore the problems socially and economically and politically. So let's go into who are the real threats that we should be monitoring when a civil war breaks out. Understand that when a civil war breaks out in this country, it's going to be very dystopian. We're going to have a complete breakdown in society. So even though there may be a civil war, you're still going to have to go to work. You're probably still going to have to pay taxes. You're still going to be opening up businesses and closing businesses. You're still going to be selling produce and goods. You're still going to have to go to the gas station and fill up your vehicle. You know, the daily things in life will still be happening, but there will be a war going on at the same time. Now, that could be something that we see in democratic cities. It could be something that we only see territorially in certain states. And it may be very small conflicts that law enforcement is able to manage and cordon off. And you'll probably see National Guard be brought in. And even so, if it gets bad enough, the active duty military be brought in. We'll just have to wait and see. But who are our threat actors that we should be looking for? Well, as always, you should be looking for the anarchist. You should be looking for BLM, Antifa, white supremacist gangs. We also have your random crazy crowd that loves to show up whenever cities are on fire and burning. And that's a very sporadic event, because that's when criminals will come out, your psychopaths will come out, and crimes of opportunity will start to happen. And what are crimes of opportunity? Well, that's your simple theft, destruction of property. That's going to be destroying infrastructure, things like gas stations or roads, power lines, power stations, water filtration stations, you know, anything that is a big modern industrial target that normally has nothing more than a chain link fence on is always going to be a soft target. And if it's anything that helps support infrastructure, that can greatly affect one side and greatly hinder another. So if we have the left that is wanting to cause a civil war and they want to hinder this country, they want to stop this country, take down the power grid. You can coordinatedly take down this power grid within 24 hours. You may not take down the entire power grid of the nation, but you can greatly affect large groups of it. And as long as there is plenty of conflict going on and plenty of crime going on, law enforcement will be stranded. You know, law enforcement is already under a lot of pressure in this country, and people on the right and left choose when they love it, when they hate it. Like it or not, law enforcement is there because crime is always there. But as long as law enforcement is tied up with riots and then protests, which will still be happening during a civil war, then you'll also be seeing guerrilla groups coming out. And that's another group that we need to look at, because within these words that we say guerrilla groups, what we're really saying are terrorist and terrorism groups. And there are different terrorist groups that are out there, and one day I'll go down the line of which ones are the most tedious that we need to look after. But Antifa is definitely going to be one of them. They love carnage and they love to spread mayhem, mainly because they're a bunch of disenfranchised children. So that's going to be a lot of your crimes of opportunity within that. But you're also, during a civil war, you're going to need to worry about gangs. Because while law enforcement is either inept or they are too busy to, you know, pay attention to everything in every corner of their county or city, you're going to have gangs that are going to be roving around, terrorizing people, or they're going to start to build up their own territorial land, and you'll have inter-gang warfare at that point as gangs start to approach each other and trying to hold on to places of goods or places of resources, such as waterways. You may not think about that, but anything that has fresh water has a very high value card on it. Gas stations, grocery stations, lumber yards, you know, retail stores. These things will be looted first, and then what wasn't looted, these gangs will more than likely try to take control of, and then sell off the goods as they go on. You're also going to have an element of the Mexican drug cartel. So from the southwest border, we always have the problem with the drug cartel, but imagine whenever society breaks down, America is in a civil war. It wouldn't take much for the cartel to push past Border Patrol and to start taking cities here and there, from Texas to New Mexico to Arizona to Southern California, and then to just hold territory and allow their army, when they do have a legitimate cartel army, to come through and fortify positions. That would be something that the military would end up having to dig out. And that would be interesting within itself, because the cartel is as well funded and as well armed as the U.S. military is. And don't think it's not. They have MVGs, they have night vision devices, they have thermal devices, they have manpad weapons, they have manpad weapon is a ground-to-air missile. They have rocket-propelled grenades, RPGs, they have grenade launchers, they have small machine guns, medium machine guns, and heavy machine guns. They have armored vehicles. They are essentially a redneck-style army that is self-made, but very capable. Very capable. And they have been at war for decades on our border with, you know, with each other and with the federales, and they are highly successful at what they do. Not trying to give them credit, but they are a credible threat. And you need to take very good caution if you are on the southern border and a civil war starts to break out. I would evacuate from that border. I would head north, because we will quickly lose ground there. Also, if there's a civil war, you have the potential for any type of UN force or any other invasion force that feels like coming to play at that time. Why not use Mexico as that invasion ground? That's a clear path straight into our country. And there are plenty of places where you can roll tanks and light infantry vehicles and infantry straight through and not really be impeded. So consider that. I'm also going to throw in the religious extremist portion of this. It wouldn't be a far shot for us to see a religious extremist group quickly gaining popularity, saying that, you know, this is the end times and I am the next John the Baptist and God tells me I need to eat people in order to, you know, save their souls. You may think that's funny. You may think that's just hyperbolic. But we have seen these cults come to life. And during a time of great civil strife, cults will pop up because people will have the need to go to a comfort area, to be in a group, to be with like-minded people. And during those times, you have people that will rise up, that'll be motivational speakers of some sort. And they will motivate people to do very evil things during very crazy times. We saw that with Nazi Germany. You know, I mean, I can keep throwing hints to you. Nazi Germany. Psychopaths. Serial killers. People that are already on our radar for law enforcement. What a great time to go on a killing spree and no one care whenever we're going through a civil war. Keep that in mind. Psychos will come out. Also, if we have a civil war, you'll have a breakdown more than likely in medicinal treatments for people that are on psychiatric drugs or for people that are severe alcoholics that have a tendency for violence. So when people can't get their fix and they can't get their meds, that's when the craziness starts to come out, and that's when they have to start feeling that urge and that need for the high with other things. Other things normally is crime and violence. And when you have roving crowds of violent people, what a great place to come and join for a party, isn't it? So consider that. There are other threats to consider. Warring factions of gangs. But also there will be warring factions between territories of people that are trying to defend their community. And don't think that won't happen. Don't think that Community A sets up a perimeter around their town, and then Community B starts to push in and do small raids on your infrastructure or on your resources. You know, that's a very easy way to have conflict there. I understand that we're all Americans and we should all be loving each other brotherly, but that's not what's probably going to happen. You know, history and human behavior can prove that. During a time of very great heightened stress, people will do crazy things, especially when you are backed into a corner and you really don't have many options and you have to feed families. People will do very extreme things. That's why it's always best to stay prepared for your family and keeping that proper amount of food, water, hygiene, materials, you know, plenty of stuff to feed your animals with. Don't forget those. Your needs and goods. And that's why I always stress that it's a good thing to have a community outreach for some sort of a plan in case of an event like this. And I know that's very theoretical, but there's a practical application with it. Being prepared as a community. Just be prepared for everything. Be prepared for everything. That way, whenever the unsuspecting happens, you at least say, okay, we have this covered. Gathering places for supplies will be a hot spot during a civil war. Grocery stores will be chaotic. Watering sources will be chaotic. Fuel resources will be chaotic. Your international commerce, traveling up and down roads, highways, farm-to-market roads, private roads. At any point in time, you may drive through a checkpoint that the community decided to put up to search vehicles coming in and out of, even if law enforcement's not present. Or it actually may be guided by law enforcement with civil help with that posse mentality. All these things are very applicable. All these things are very realistic. And don't think that they're not, because they can't happen. So here is my idea of why I think a civil war in America is truly the beginnings of a invasion on America. And I'm going to give you my theoretical. Let's take Russia. Russia is a nuclear superpower. They're an enemy of the United States, and a lot of the world considers them to be an enemy, just like China and Iran. But if Russia was to go into a civil war, and then you had factions within the political party and the military start to fight each other, and one side aligns with these beliefs and the other side aligns with the administration or the president, and one side refuses orders, the other side obeys orders, eventually some sort of a conflict, some sort of a kinetic event will end up happening. Even after all means are exhausted to try and settle this, it's still going to end up probably happening. But what happens when one of those groups decides to gain control of a nuclear silo? Now, there are a lot of contingencies within any type of nuclear platform that will allow people access or won't allow people access. There's codes, there's switches, there's keys, there's all kinds of things, right? But let's just say it's a military group that is responsible for that one nuclear silo, for that one, you know, intercontinental ballistic missile, and they decide that if, you know, let's say if Moscow does not stop what they're doing, if Putin does not leave the office, we're going to nuke Moscow, or we're going to send a nuke to over here or over there. And that starts to happen in multiple different areas of Russia where they start to lose control of these ballistic missile silos. How long do you think the rest of the world would sit back and watch a nuclear-armed Russia go into complete civil war and destabilize themselves to the point that no other remedy is there, no other country can come in and help stabilize, and you have two different factions that are refusing to listen to each other? How long would the world sit back and wait for one of those groups to launch a missile? Just consider that. Because, yeah, they may say they want to hit, you know, their capital. But what if they send that missile in another direction? What if an oopsie-daisy happens, and then that missile hits Poland, or that missile hits Europe? How long would NATO stand by and watch a nuclear-armed superpower tear itself apart before they invade? I would surmise that within 72 hours, if it's not remedied and the threat of nuclear war comes up, you're going to be invaded by the world. The world will come down on you. to quote-unquote stabilize for the peace and safety of all. We have more nukes than Russia. We have way worse things. So how long would the world wait when we have submarine fleets that are armed with nuclear missiles, or we have an Air Force or Navy fleet carriers armed with all types of different ordnances, and refusing to listen to orders from the Pentagon? And we have rogue military units that are not listening to orders from the White House. And then you have law enforcement officials and political officials who separate themselves, and then the military aligns with them and not with the administration. How long would it take for the current administration to call upon the Kigali principles and to have the world come down on us? Maybe a week. 2 weeks is very generous, but I give it a week. I give within a week, you would have China and Russia and our allies from the West Coast to the East Coast and coming down from our northern border with Canada, and they're going to start taking over cities. And we know in this country, based off of prior examples from other countries that we have invaded, that we're going to take down the infrastructure, we're going to seize guns from the population, we're going to seize cities, and we are going to then start to target groups that we consider to be a threat that the administration would tell us would be the most viable threats. That's what we did in Iraq. That's what we did in Afghanistan. That's what we did in Syria. That's what we're still currently doing in Africa. So if you can take all those current examples and apply them to America now, you could easily see NATO and the UN invading America in order to quote-unquote stabilize. The problem with that is Americans generally look at something like that and they grind their teeth and they say, not today. America has a very rebellious nature, especially when it comes to any type of foreign entity saying that they're going to come and take our guns. That's a big hot spot for us. So that is my theory. How long would the world wait while America goes into civil war? Especially if we happen to lose control of D.C. or we start to lose control of military bases. You know, it can go very bad very fast, depending on how fast it's pushed. Because I believe whatever type of civil conflict is going to happen, I don't think it's going to manifest itself organically. I think it's manufactured. I think we are seeing all the elements of the crime for a manufacturing of a civil crisis in this country. I think the Kyle Rittenhouse case is a good one. The George Floyd case was a good one. The 2020 riots was a good one. The stealing of an election is another very good point. Americans already believe right now that, you know, your vote doesn't mean anything. So that just adds more fuel to the fire. And the more we have Democrats and Republicans come out saying that they want to disarm America, the more Americans you piss off. So displacing those Americans and dividing them only throws more fuel in the fire. Then you have DHS come out recently and say that conservatives, people in these type of religious groups, or veterans, or gun owners, or anyone that does not like the Biden administration and does not want communism is a terror threat. There's more fuel to the fire. So I don't think it's a far cry from saying that we could easily see civil conflict. And I think the next series of elections for Congress, for the Senate, and for the next president, I believe that's going to be more portions of what's going to build up to that civil conflict. We got to have the conflict first before we have the kinetic civil war. That's pretty dark to think about. It's pretty bleak. I'm sorry I didn't come on here with a feel-good message, but it's very realistic. Ukraine was a very good example of a civil war, and America had its hands all in that. And we also have outside entities that have their hands in our civil war, like China. China has already chosen the Democrats as their puppet, as their pawn, as their side. And you will have Democrats who will side with China to come after conservatives, right-wingers, Republicans, Trumpers, whatever you want to label us as. I just say Americans who love America. It's crazy to think that our government thinks its own people are the biggest threat. I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know what to think about that. I ponder these things quite a bit. And it's scary, man. It is. It's really scary. You know, if I was an evil entity and I wanted to help to destroy America, what would I do? I would do exactly what the Democrats and the leftists are doing right now. I would want to fuel as much rage as possible and hope that eventually a conflict sparks, quote unquote, organically, and you have a crazed group trying to shoot down another crazed group. It's a very bad idea when you go to a protest to bring your body armor, your helmet, your cool guy gear, your cool guy gun, and to stand there and yell at another group that also decided to bring all of their equipment and their weapons. Knowing that the left is going to be violent and they're going to have weapons on them, they're going to throw Molotov cocktails at you, they're going to try and corner you and put your back against the wall and make you fight them. Well, you'll have another Kyle Rittenhouse event. You may have several of those. And we see right now that, you know, our own president is all about coming after anyone who tries to defend themselves. Well, what if Americans just want to defend America? Does the administration come down against everybody? More than likely. More than likely. Because they are losing control. And that's something they have to desperately maintain is control. But after a Civil War event, what would America look like? Honestly, that depends. That depends on what type of toys are brought to the party. You know, more than likely, you're going to have martial law in the larger cities and in some of the larger counties. You're going to have military checkpoints that are set up, random screening of vehicles and of people. And we know that with the UN and with NATO, they don't have the greatest track record. But when you have all these different countries that come in that try to do a military policing style operation in order to keep the peace, that's never going to turn out well. And more than likely, you're going to have groups that will attack them as well because they don't want foreign invaders on this soil. And that's a great time also for false flags to happen, where you could have the left even stage something like that. So you could have a splinter cell group that they fund to attack another nation that's on the soil and blame the other group. I'm not trying to be too vague here, but there's a reason for it. But after the dust is settled, after the next Civil War, this country will not be a country anymore. I think the goal is to have multiple militaries from multiple countries invade this country. That's the whole point. Get us into a Civil War so that we can be invaded, so that we can be partially defeated and disarmed and then better controlled. There are valuable resources in this country that other countries desperately need, like our uranium deposits, like our amazing growing fields out in California, our pure water sources. You know, there's a lot of resources out there that other countries look to us and say, man, I just can't wait to invade so we can take it. And you have countries like Russia and China, who they plan operations like this, and they plan it within decades, and they just wait for that magical moment. The end goal of communism is to take over and destroy liberty. That is the goal. Have your preparations. Don't be a fool. And this country still allows the Second Amendment. There's no excuse not to own a firearm. It's there to protect you. And in the needs of whenever our country is invaded, you'll need it more than you ever thought you would. So with that, please stand by for another word from our sponsors.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And welcome back to American Vindicta. We are still continuing to talk about what America will look like after the next Civil War. So we've covered a lot of things so far, but we haven't really spoken about what our own military would do. What will a military do if told to suppress the civil population during a Civil War-style conflict? We've seen many movies that talk about martial law. We've seen many media platforms talk about martial law. We've never really seen martial law to that scale in America, but I believe it is coming. And it's hard to consider that Americans would fire upon Americans. And I still believe that most of our military are patriotic and love their country, love their neighbors, and for that would not fire upon unless fired upon. So that would be the need for other militaries. But would we have a Wolverine-style reaction to foreign forces on our soil from our military? I think we would, to an extent. I think instead we'd have a larger amount of veterans that would be reuniting and forming paramilitary forces, and the fight would be brought by them. Unfortunately, you can only fight as well as you can with small arms whenever drones and tanks and other, you know, types of equipment are being used against you. So it would end up being more of a Vietnam-style civil war. I think guerrilla war fighting would probably be what we would see, and that that explains the military training operations for things that we've seen in the past. I don't want to say that those types of trainings that people have had put on for the need for civil conflict to fire upon Americans is actually just, but I'm sure the Pentagon has plans for it if need be. Military forces will end up fighting each other, as some groups will defend the Constitution and other groups will follow the administration's directives. So you may have a National Guard unit fighting a National Guard unit. You may have a military unit fighting against a pro-Biden administration paramilitary group like Antifa that has joined forces with China and are waiting for support from the Mexican drug cartels. That may seem far-fetched, but it's really not. We have seen things like this before. And I like to use Iraq as an example of coalition forces and then using militias and other freedom fighter groups to fight against another tyrannical group or a threat like any type of insurgency. And we would be labeled as the insurgents. Anyone who dares to fight against the administration or against foreign entities would be considered insurgents. Because as long as the presidency, as long as the U.S. government is still up and running, they are still considered to be who is in charge. Even if they're illegitimate, even if they're tyrannical, even if they're dictatorial. I would expect to see military-style assassinations upon military members and upon high-ranking officers. I would expect to see assassinations upon political leaders, or even state leaders, law enforcement leaders would be attacked at that same point. You know, that's when you can also see the same type of conflict happening at people's home and the targeting of families. Everything is on the table when it comes to a civil war. Nothing is out of context at that point. Now, I don't think that you would lose an entire city and then hit it with a neutron bomb, but I wouldn't take that off the table if it means that's what the government has to do to regain control of a lost area. Bases will probably be used to take in refugees, while other military groups will be invading cities and seizing ports and refineries and hospitals and other vital resources like nuclear power plants and oil pipelines. All these things that are critical infrastructure will have to have protection, and the government will most likely, along with the states, move to protect those resources. One would hope that a civil conflict would be ended quickly, but we know from experience, from history, that civil wars can go on for decades. That may be the future of America if we don't get a hold of ourselves, if we don't find mutual ground to stand upon. The more we keep electing radicals into our government, the closer we get to civil war. The longer we allow lawlessness to abound in this country, the closer we get to civil war. The more we take God out of our country, the closer we will get to a civil war. All those principles and fundamentals of what it means to be a good ethical person or a good American, especially since we're based off of Christian values, that is a good precipice for a civil war. That's why the attack on Christian values is so aggressive and is still ongoing. All these things are to divide the family units. That Satan's overall goal is to divide and conquer. You know, Satan said, or the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, so do our enemies. So does communism. So does dictators. They have to maintain control. And the more out of control Americans are in their eyes, the bigger of a threat risk that we are to the government. And when they start shutting down your banks because you have to get a chip in your hand or some sort of a symbol on your hand or in your forehead in order to even buy food, well, there's another take for civil war, isn't it? Mark of the beast. How about another epidemic that breaks out? Another super plague? Something else to just throw into the mix and stir into that chaos? Everything is on the table. And because everything is on the table, you should always look at your preparations. Now, you can set yourself up for success. You can be physically and mentally and spiritually prepared. It's best to do this as a community. Forms relationships with people that are like-minded to you that you can trust. And after a civil war, even during it, state lines and all that good stuff, county lines, it'll all disappear and it'll all be territories. People gaining control of grounds and trying not to relinquish it so that they can maintain some sort of a positive control on the chaos. That's what's in our future. That may all start tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see just how hard the left says they're going to go. Petty crime and riots and mobs, that can only be tolerated for so long with this country, with these Americans. Eventually, someone is going to say enough is enough. Eventually, people are going to stand their ground and defend their town. And I don't blame you when you do it. At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, be good to one another. Try to be nice to one another. Try to love each other as you love thyself. But don't be foolish, don't be arrogant, and don't be ignorant of the times and the signs. You have a big decision to make, America. Who do you allow to control this country? Do you allow the left to continue to gain power and destroy it? Or do you go out and you make a big noise and you tell them enough is enough? Now, I'm not promoting violence, but they are. Thank you, and we will be seeing you again tomorrow. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.